Welcome to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
And you just heard History Repeating Part 1 and Part 2 by the Megas. It's twofer for the first song. Welcome back to the Experience Points Radio Show. Thanks for hanging out with us again. Last week,
We both died.
You're kind of like hunched over a little bit. You're like,
not to be whatever and not to endorse this at all. I forgot to tell you, I am doing this episode on a painkiller.
Oh, it boy.
Because I done literally fractured one of my ribs.
You got kicked by a horse.
Kicked by a horse.
You got knocked around by a cow.
While I was sitting in my spittoon bucket, and
you got rampaged by a piggy.
And then he whispered something anti-Semitic as I fell in the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
That's the story. I had a audition for something.
You were hanging a lamp in the bathroom, and you slipped on the toilet seat. Mm-hmm. And now you can go through time.
Why Larry King?
I was trying to be Christopher Lloyd from Back to the
came
Future.
Off as Larry. Sorry. I'm sitting here with a very interesting individual today.
What are you going to be doing later today?
Yeah. Do you want to get weird? Just like,
what buy me a drink first, sailor.
But I enjoyed, falling. It was great, let me
tell
you. It
was great. I felt like I was, flying.
Felt like I was flying for like 0.2 of a second. Oh, yeah. But I had an audition, and they asked me to videotape audition. So I have this setup with a backdrop. I have light diffusers and all this stuff. Okay. I need a better camera. But I'm like, it's 1 p.m. This has to be turned in by like 2 p.m. So it's the worst feeling in the world because it still has to be like edited, put together, uploaded, sent to my agent, then send it to them. So it's the worst feeling in the world having this space of time. So I'm trying to get pretty, taking a shower, rushing in and out of the bathroom, and getting everything set up. Take a slip, fall, hit my shoulder on the door, hit my chest on the tile.
Oh.
And then I was so mad that happened, I didn't really notice the pain from the adrenaline and the rage. I do my scene, where thankfully I had to be angry at the end.
I didn't get that I was hurt because I was so angry.
And then in the scene, I'm trying to force myself to burp, which is harder to do than you think.
I can't burp.
Well, I was trying to do soda, but the thing is I'm on camera, so I can't really take soda. So I'm trying to burp. And then so I keep straining my chest trying to burp. So I keep hurting myself.
You're hurting yourself more.
I was like, I pulled a muscle. And then I go to the doctor on last week, this Wednesday of last week.
Yeah.
And they're like, fractured.
You messed yourself up.
They were like, I was describing it. I'm like, yeah, it hurts right there on the bone, not really so much the muscle. It clicks when I breathe. I can't really. I describe it. She's like,
oh my God.
She said, you didn't, almost like they're looking at me like I'm an idiot. You didn't figure out the rib fractured? Speak English, doctor. God. I ain't a scientist.
That's funny. I'm glad that you're here. I'm happy that you're at least on some type of pain medication. For those that don't know, I think we skipped the whole intro of the show. For those that don't know, this is the Experience Points Radio Show. We drop nerd and geek knowledge. We talk about medical science. We watch Dustin shuffle uncomfortably in his chair.
Hey, every new move.
Because the body is healing itself, and that's sometimes what it needs to do. We're going to cut to a song after I tell you about our website. We have exppoints.com. Go there and check out all of our news reviews or whatever. Remember, don't have that P.
One of my favorite songs is coming up.
We have, we're going to talk about that. That's the next song?
We're going to make that. Now it is.
We have social media, exppoints.com/social. Go there, subscribe. Thanks. Really appreciate it. What song, Dustin, are we going to play for the first, after intro segment song?
It's Tank.
Oh.
By the Seatbelts.
The Seatbelts.
Yes.
What's special about this? I already know all this, so I'm throwing her softballs. What could be special about this year's song?
Well, I guess you'll just have to tune in after the break.
We're going to tell them after? That's
good.
We're going to tease them. This is Tank by the Seatbelts. We're playing it right here on the Experience Points Radio Show, exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
See if you can survive to the end of the song. We're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG. Dustin is hurting so much.
I hit my knee.
He hit his knee. He hit his face on the microphone during the break. And then, because we're rocking out to the song, and then he burped and he's like, ow,
my rib,
my ribs.
You know what hurts the most is sneezing.
Oh, that man, sucks. I hate when you like you cough or you sneeze and you're sick. I'm actually a little sick right now, so
sick.
You just heard Tank by the Seatbelts. Let's tell them they stuck around. What's special about Tank by the Seatbelts?
Well, yesterday was the 20th anniversary of the original airing of Cowboy Bebop.
Oh yeah,
in Japan, April 3rd, 1998.
Yep. 98 was a good year. We're actually, the entire show that we're talking about today, the entire show is a 1998 show.
Yeah, it kind of is.
I mean, we're not talking about boy bands or anything. We're talking about all this other stuff. If you don't know what Cowboy Bebop is...
Well, soon it's going to be May.
Oh, I hate you so much.
God, you really set me up for it, though.
I know. I was like, oh, soon. I was like, are they making a sequel to Cowboy Bebop? And I was like, no, you made an NSYNC. Okay. Cowboy Bebop, man, so we were talking about it a little bit during the break, and this is really one of those iconic sort of defining shows, I think, for both of us, because when the thing that we were discussing was the art style, the music style, the animation, the theming, the how adult it was, and it's not a new thing for anime to be an adult experience,
right?
You know, and I say cartoony, it's not really cartoony, but an adult experience in an animated shell. Cowboy Bebop, like, I think that jacked it up to the next level.
I think it became very much a genre. One, the show itself is very story driven,
yeah,
as far as it's not spectacle driven like a lot of anime was at that time. It felt like, and it took its time in such a beautiful way. It's like, you really, like, it would just stay on a shot for a little while. Like, look how beautiful this is. And it would have that music, the harmonica. Like, and
there would be like a little bit of, and it wasn't the only one that did it at the time. There was, I mean, the late 90s anime is sort of like, in my opinion, it's sort of the renaissance of anime because, you know, you had other, and we were talking about, Trigun, Big O, mid Dragon Ball Z. And Dragon Ball Z sort of is a different animal because it's such a long series. Trigun, Big O, Cowboy Bebop, those are all 26 episode series.
Right.
Helsing's a 13 episode, the original, and I think Ultimate, is only 13 or a handful of episodes. And I mean, that's usually you get it in like three or four OVAs, original video animations, or OAVs, original animated videos, depending, whatever people.
Whoever.
Or you get 13 episodes, or you get 26 episodes with typically a season one, like, catch-up episode. Evangelion sort of did that. Evangelion was another one that was very adult and a cartoon show. And it's tough because Cowboy Bebop was so good in 26 episodes.
Yeah.
And, of course, there was Knockin' on Heaven's Door later released the movie for Cowboy Bebop, which seemed, what was that, 2005, I think, or
2001.
Was it 2001?
I just looked it up. 2001 was Cowboy Bebop, the movie.
Oh, wow. It seemed like it was a couple years after, but I didn't think it was just like 2 years after.
It probably had its American release a little bit after that.
I could have sworn that they were like, hey, we're making the movie. It's big in America. We're going to release it very close. That's with Steve Bloom. Steve Bloom is Spike Spiegel, the main character. And if you don't know who Steve Bloom is, you probably have heard Steve Bloom before, which is, you know, he's one of the typical, like, always there voice actors, like the ones that you know all from tons of these. He's been in video games. He's been in movies. I don't think he's ever acted by himself, though. But I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong about all that. So, but anyway, 20 years is fantastic. I know I watched it on, like, Toonami's Adult Swim.
The Hulu has all of them.
Really?
Yes.
Well, no, I own, like, the Platinum. They every now and then they release, like, a Platinum thing where you keep, like, reshifting in your chair and hurting yourself. Which is pretty awesome. I mean, I don't want to see you in pain.
I have a fractured rib and a restless butt. This is a bad combination.
You didn't get them at the same time, though, or did you?
I've always had restless butt.
Okay, all right. RBS, restless butt syndrome.
Do you suffer from RBS?
That sounds like one of those, like, late night infomercial type medical things.
Got to put your butt to sleep.
Let's talk about, what did you? So you kind of described what you were doing. Did you do anything else? Because I have big news. I want you to finish.
I did something, but I don't know how I'm going to feel about it. I don't know how I still feel about it. But go ahead with your big news.
Okay, so I'm going to start with, like, the not so big news. So I started playing Nier Automata.
Yes.
And I don't know how I feel about the game because it's crazy, it's weird, it's perspective shifting. Nier Automata is a game that came out in 2017. It's by Square Enix, I think.
Oh, yes, it's by Square Enix.
It definitely seems like a Square Enix game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very pretty game, but it's one of those games where it's sort of like you don't know what to make of it whenever you're playing it, because it changes perspective so often. It doesn't take itself super seriously at some points, and it takes itself really seriously at other parts. It seems like a JRPG.
Yeah.
But then I don't know that it is. I don't know. Everyone's hot. Everyone's very pretty in the game. Like, everyone's a hot android or, like, an androgynous guy android.
Right. They were
I
like,
don't
humans,
understand it.
The humans design these androids to fight robots. It's like, then why were the only two specs available?
Super hot girl android,
uh-huh.
And then just like androgynous boy android,
man
like
child.
Yeah, it's just like I don't get it. And they're you know, it doesn't make any sense because the person that you're playing is very much like, I'm robotic, I don't have emotions, or do I? And then everyone else in the game is like, hey, let's go play volleyball. And
yeah.
You're like, why do you even know what volleyball is? You're supposed to be a robot. It's like breaking character. And this is the part where it's like, I don't know. Am I the only robot? No. Everyone else is wearing, and they're all wearing blindfolds, but they have eyes. And I don't understand.
Never explained.
I started playing that. I played Far Cry 5. I got Far Cry 5.
Oh, and I haven't touched that yet.
I am working through Far Cry 5. I'm 2/3-ish through the game.
How do you enjoy it?
I'm enjoying it. It's a Far Cry game. I mean, like, mm-hmm. You played one, you played them all, but I'm enjoying it. They took away the radio towers, which is really interesting.
Oh, thank the Lord.
They took away the mini-map, which is really great.
Oh.
Montana is looking great. Hope County, Montana is looking real, real good. The acting is above par. I would say it's on par with maybe Far Cry 4.
It's I'm sorry. It's hard to beat.
You're not going to get Voss in 3.
You're not going to get Voss
in 3. No, you're not going to beat that.
Voss is one of those that just came around and it was like amazing.
It works really well. It's very like socially, like politically current because you think it's going to be like an NRA you think it's going to be like anti-NRA or anti-guns or whatever. No, it's like an NRA fever dream. It's really, really awesome.
It's like an NRA
I think that's
fever
what Kirk
dream.
Hamilton or Jason Schreier said on one of their split screen things. It was like NRA fever dream because it's guns, guns, guns. Mm-hmm. Everyone's super, you know, into guns and it sort of shows like this is what happens when preppers prepare appropriately, because this cult leader all of a sudden took Montana's county by hostage, and now the only ones that are going to save us are the people that had the guns.
Yep.
And so, but it works really well. I really enjoy that.
How powerful are those turkeys? Because that patch note was one of my favorite things to
read. The
turkey is less powerful.
The birds in this game are kind of ridiculous. I'll say this. I'm playing on normal difficulty, and I can't just run and gun into a situation.
Oh,
I have
really?
I have to scout the camps, and other players that I've been talking to, they say, yeah, you know, you got to scout the camps. You got to mark everybody. You got to take them down with a preferably silenced sniper rifle or some type of bow and arrow system. I mean, you have to be take out the alarms first. Get a helicopter and mow them down if you have to. But, I mean, the more of a ruckus you make, the more people come in.
Right.
So, I mean, you could have this, you know, oh, I'm just going to take down this I'm going to take liberate this outpost, and it turns in from a 5-minute thing into a 15-minute thing.
Oh, goodness.
And people just keep coming, and then they call in air support, kind of like Grand Theft Auto. When Grand Theft Auto, like, you're really, really quiet about something, and all of a sudden the cops get on your tail, and you're like,
yeah,
whatever, I'm going to fight the cops. And then the army shows up, and you're like, all right, whatever.
Well, this
and
is
then,
escalated.
And, yeah, and then, everyone shows up. So
then
it's
a kaiju
like that.
Shows up. And
that's it. Yeah, it escalates and escalates.
It's got a little policeman's badge.
That's it. A badge cam. We got to make sure.
It's the size of relatively small. It's the size of a house. But
yeah, it's just
on him.
A 3-bedroom. Just a 3-bedroom. the coolest thing I did over the break, I did this 2 Saturdays ago, the 24th of March, I proposed to my girlfriend, and I'm getting engaged, or I'm getting married. I'm engaged now.
Oh, okay.
I'm engaged.
So now
and
you're
getting
engaged.
Married.
Okay.
Yeah. Now.
So, okay.
This isn't how I'm going to propose.
So good. I like how Far Cry 5 was first.
Well, no, I kind of worked in reverse order. So,
oh, okay.
In case anyone that doesn't know is listening,
well, congratulations.
I guess. I don't know.
We'll see how this.
I hope she's not listening to that.
That's the thing. It's like, you're whatever, if it's success or failure, at least it's going to be together, and we'll see. You'll see how it goes.
For success, that'd be great.
I mean, some work, some don't, I guess. I don't know. But congratulations that
you
found someone willing to agree to what I think is a ridiculous idea. I am not a marriage person because it's like, look, we got to get this guy in black. He's going to make sure
you don't have to
leave.
You can
the priest does.
I mean, yeah, if you want to.
Oh, well,
do it that
I
way.
Mean, like sometimes he could wear white if he's like feeling. He's got a lot of costume changes.
Do you have to wear black? Is that like a traditional
thing?
He
bought the costume pack. That's.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Someone's got DLC money.
Anyway. Like, yeah. I did something and I don't know how I feel about it. And then. Actually, I do know how I feel about it after playing it. And I wonder what the reaction is going to be in this room. Is I got Star Wars Battlefront 2.
I knew you were going to do it. I knew you were going to do it. I knew as soon as they repealed the microtransactions and they made it all cosmetic, they made just everything available, I knew you were going to get it.
I think...
You also told me you were going to get it, so that's how I knew. But
well, I was going to get it when it was dirt cheap, which is how I got it.
Was it like $20?
Oh, cheaper than that, I got it. Because it was when it switched to $20, I'm like, great. Go to istthereanydeal.com, see who's selling their
that's
codes.
It.
And then, so I got it for $15.
Nice.
So...
What do you think?
I'm enjoying the heck out of it. It's...
They didn't make it a bad game because they added microtransactions. It just made it scummy. It's not a bad, you know. DICE made the game. EA screwed it up.
Right. I think that's the separation. The game's beautiful. Really enjoying the multiplayer. The progression system now feels entirely different. Where I'm being rewarded for playing and playing well. I have accrued.
So it's kind of like the first game.
Yeah, basically.
In a weird way. Yeah.
And I've accrued 40,000 credits that can't be used for anything at the moment.
What
right
was it?
Now.
The 40,000 would be like, that's like two Darth Vaders. So you could have bought two Darth Vaders
thing.
With that.
And all the heroes are unlocked.
Yep.
Right out of the gate, which is.
I'll have to take a look at it now that it's sort of unscummed, I guess.
Unscummed. And it's just like, before I bought it, I'm like, do I want to give EA my money and blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, maybe I should relax. This isn't...
Maybe I should just calm my stuff down a little bit.
They make video games.
Right.
At worst, there's companies that dump oil and chemical bile into rivers and poison people. There's insurance companies that don't pay out for people and they die. EA...
isn't the worst company in the
game.
World.
They're hardly, you know, Weyland Yutonics from Alien or Omnicore from RoboCop, you know? This sick reference game,
But if they want to be OCP, go ahead.
Yeah.
Build OCP. I want to see Peter Weller be a robot.
Yeah. But I'm like, at the end of the day, they make a game and maybe I should just chillax. And I'm enjoying it. And like when I got it, I was like, I put a few hours into it. And that's a lot for me for a multiplayer game.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, in fact, I enjoyed it more than I enjoy Battlefield 1. Because even Battlefield 1 still has loot boxes and loot progression and stuff like that. We just all forgot about that one. And we were, for some reason, fine with it.
We were, because it wasn't EA. Was that EA?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was EA, EA, yeah. Sorry, I was thinking of Call of Duty. That's not EA.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Activision.
But no, the Battlefront 2, there's no progression I could buy with credits. There's no microtransactions. It's all gone. So it feels like a real game. And I'm like, man, this would have killed it if it came out like this. This would have done so well. And I would have picked this up for $60 when it would have come out because I really wanted to play it back then. But now I bought it for $15.
It'll be interesting to see if the next whatever, whether it's Battlefront 3 or some other game that they produce – with or without those licenses, to see if they make the microtransaction mistake again. Because,
oh, I think this put such a bad taste in everyone's mouth.
You would think that, but I mean, they were going to put them back in over time. They were like, it's like they were testing the water to be like, all right, we're going to slip this in, and then everyone lost their mind, had a conniption fit.
Yeah,
and they said, okay, we're going to peel it back. We're going to think about it though, and we're going to maybe slip it in later. And we're like, no, what are you doing? We told you we didn't like it the first time. Why would you put the mess back in there? And they're like, all right, we'll take it out and we'll sell it, and it'll be good.
I think there was
give it some time though. Like, think about it. We'll table this for now. We're not going to try. We might try microtransactions in Battlefront 3, maybe.
Well, this isn't, to me...
Mass Effect, the new Mass Effect, will have a microtransaction. The next Dragon Age will have a microtransaction store.
They did this with Star Wars Battlefront because we let them get away with it with Dead Space 3. This should have been
the
amount of
that
upset that Dead Space 3. I think there was a combination of four factors, and I think this is probably why we're not going to see loot crates in Anthem, I don't think.
I hope not.
I don't think so.
That would be just like, look at all of the problems that you've had with it in the past and just skip a game and see how good that game can be.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, it's not like EA's not making money. I mean, their stock isn't doing poorly or anything.
It did a lot when Battlefront 2 came out.
It did drop it dropped like 7%, I think, or 12%.
It was all together ended up being about $110 million.
Which is
not too bad, but
it's not nothing. But
it ain't nothing, but it's $110 million at the same time. The interesting thing, I think there was a bunch of combinations of things that have happened where anybody who's thinking about doing loot crates now has to go, oh, okay, are we willing to deal with all that? One is Belgium. Yeah. Belgium, it went to the court, and I think they made a decision that it was gambling.
Yeah.
So and the European Union likes to stick together with stuff like that.
Yep.
So that's one thing.
And for what the EU is now.
For what
give it a minute.
Once Britain came out, they all got like tighter for some reason. But
they got a lot smaller all of a sudden.
They got a lot smaller all of a sudden. But the Gaming Commission of Belgium, here it went to court. It's still in.
I thought they knocked it down.
No, it's still in litigation now, I think. But the idea of it going to court and being brought up is not what they wanted.
No, because that highlights something that clearly it didn't need to be an issue.
Right. Sales was a third thing. Fourth thing was Disney.
Oh, yeah.
Because Disney gave them a ring.
Yeah.
And I think the writing on the wall, I know EA was looking to be sold for some reason.
Really?
That the people were looking to buy, somebody was going to buy EA or something like that. And I have a theory.
I'll get closer to the mic. What's your theory?
I have a theory. I won't be proven right or wrong until about 5 or 6 months from now. It's about how long this stuff takes. I think Disney's looking to acquire EA as a property.
Oh, okay.
Because I think what Star Wars...
So they're going to like have like their Disney Games division, EA. Oh, I remember.
Disney Interactive, how we got Medal of Honor and all this stuff and everything like that. We used to have Disney Interactive, and it was an outreach of Steven Spielberg Studio. Mm. There's like a whole history lesson you can do about that. But they used to have this. But I think Star Wars Battlefront 2, Disney was like, okay, I think they are all about controlling the image of their property. And I think this incident highlighted the fact that video games, having it being licensed out, is the one thing you don't have image control over.
Right.
And it was very negative. And so I think Disney is probably either looking, they have more than enough money to do it. And if they want to bring Disney Interactive back or anything like that or keep the thing, I don't know. But I do know that they are looking at, because of Warner Brothers.
I could see that being a thing. I mean, you look at how good the Batman games are doing, mm-hmm. Rocksteady
partnered with Warner Brothers.
I'm not going to say too much about the Telltale series right now. I haven't played but like the first season or the first episode, so uh-huh. I don't know how good that is. Telltale probably needs to do something else besides their Choose Your Own Adventure branching gameplay thing. Mm-hmm. That's kind of getting played out. But, I mean, Warner Brothers is doing really well with Batman.
Right, and Middle-Earth, Shadow of Mordor did well.
Yeah.
And I think Disney, it wouldn't be, to be honest, it doesn't take a hard pitch for Disney. It's like, look, if people didn't like The Last Jedi, the audience score for Last Jedi is low for some reason. Maybe that had something to do with Star Wars Battlefront.
There are parts of EA that I don't think Disney really wants, though. I mean, like, do they really want the Battlefield games? Do they really care to have anything other than titles that they're directly, like, wanting to have creative control over?
Well, I think that Disney's smart with how they kind of separate themselves.
I was gonna say they could name a studio something that's not Disney, and that could be like, okay, Disney Interactive is the ones in charge of,
or maybe you could just call it Pandemic Studios. I don't know, and give us another Mercenaries game. I don't know, just a thought.
I want more Mercenaries. I want more Army Men.
Our Sergeant Heroes.
That's it. This is a long segment. Let's cut to a song and then we'll come back. All the Things by Dual Core. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show, exclusively on Southeastern Zone
90.9 KSLU.
Not every geek with a Commodore 64 can hack into NASA.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm still MG.
I'm always Dustin.
That was All the Things by Dual Core. This is a really good year. We already talked 20th year anniversary of Cowboy Bebop. And that's not the only thing that's sharing its 20th year anniversary this year. We have a lot of games, 23 games that are sharing their 20th anniversary at some point this year.
I'm going to come over and to we, you.
We're going to get close real quick. We're going to move microphones. Microphones.
You might hear us both on
Are going to look through some of these games, and we are going to discuss how awesome some of them are. Some of them are big. Some of them are, well, they're all, these are all like really big games, but I mean, we don't have to spend the same amount of time because we only have like 20 minutes left in the hour. Let's start off with Resident Evil 2. 20th year anniversary was January 21st of this year. It came out January 21st of 1998. I'm going to say this. Resident Evil 2 was my favorite in the entire Resident Evil series.
Everybody knows Resident Evil is about a bad neighbor.
What are you talking about?
he's right across the street, and he's very villainous. And this is the sequel to that, where it's both your neighbors on.
I don't know.
Totally get the plot wrong just based on the name.
Oh my god!
But no, Resident Evil 2 is you actually play as Leon for the first time and Claire for the first time.
Yes,
who are just staples in the series.
Yes,
who Leon is. So, I love how clunky and tank-like the controls are for this one. This one was ported over the N64.
Yes, this was for the N64, and I think eventually it made a PC debut as well.
Oh, did it?
It was originally PS1 exclusive.
I think it's
And then I say PS1 exclusive. It was originally PS1, and then they made an N64 version. It's crazy how games back in the day just could be really small and yet be so big and so full featured. But yeah, Resident Evil 2, the best game in the series in my opinion, even today. And I mean, I like Resident Evil, but
I'm a big fan of 4. 4 I played to death.
You know what? 4 is really good. That's sort of like the next generation of it. Moving on, January 28th, 1998, saw Final Fantasy Tactics.
Only ever played one.
You only played Final Fantasy 1?
No, I've only ever played one Final Fantasy game.
Oh, was that 7?
15.
Oh, God. That's right. That's right. So I played Tactics a while back, and it's this isometric sort of move around turn-based tactics game. If you played one, you played them all. But this had some charm to it. It had the Final Fantasy charm, and I really, really enjoyed it.
I like to imagine 15 as a boy band music video that just kept going out of hand.
All right, we're going to – you want another encore? No, we don't. Nope. Final Fantasy. But then they kept doing it. February 11th, 1998, we saw Xenogears come out. I have played a little bit of Xenogears. It's like a JRPG mech game. It's good. It's the same.
I had a distaste for all things JRPG when I was a kid.
Really?
I really limited myself because of it.
This is so the active time battle system, like in Chrono Trigger, and it wasn't in Chrono Cross, but anyway, Xenogears is the only one in the series, right? We never got a sequel to Xenogears. The Xenosaga, Xenoblade Chronicles are sort of like spiritual, you know, successors to it, and that was pretty good. This is a game I played the hell out of. February 26, 1998, Tenchu Stealth Assassins.
I wanted to play this, dad wouldn't let me.
Dang it, Dad. He was just a boy. He just wanted to play Tenchu. No, Tenchu is one of those fantastic games where it didn't rely on snazzy graphics. It relied on gameplay, and it did such a good job. It came before games like, I think, Ninja Gaiden. Well, no, not before Ninja Gaiden, but the 3D representations of Strider Ninja Gaiden. It beat those out in 3D. I think this was originally for PS1.
I think there's a huge gap between, like, I really want to play as a ninja sneaking around doing ninja stuff. And, like,
there's only, like, 5 or 6 games.
Mark of the Ninja, but, like, that's kind of...
I guess you got Thief. Thief was sort of like that. Believe it or not, March 31st, we just had the 20th year anniversary of StarCraft. StarCraft just hit 20 years just 4 days ago. Or 3 days ago, I guess.
All of South Korea was shut down and rejoicing.
There was a Zerg parade. But yeah, so March 31st.
The leader was killed.
If you don't know what StarCraft is, I mean, there is no more, I think, well-known real-time strategy game out there. And I love Spring Commander, you know, but it StarCraft is the one that popularized the whole thing, I think. It is still, the original is still actively played in South Korea. It is, I would say, for all intents and purposes, the first esport. Some would say Counter-Strike. I don't think that's right. Yeah. Because StarCraft predated Counter-Strike, and we'll prove that later on in the show because another big game came out.
Okay.
I also love Warcraft and Warcraft 2. StarCraft came after that and was so good.
Let's speed through some of these.
So 1080 snowboarding, March 31st as well. It certainly got destroyed by StarCraft, but it's a completely different game, snowboarding game. Mm-hmm. Panzer Dragoon Saga, really, really great. It is a Sega Saturn game. Panzer Dragoon is really, really great. I played Orta, and I really like that. I think on the original Xbox.
Panther Dragon.
Is that what Panzer is? I thought it was Tank. Tank Dragon. Panzer.
No, the Panzer, the Germans, are like the Tiger Tank and the Panther.
Oh, Tiger.
Tiger and Panther.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Get out of your own butt,
I'm
Matt.
Sorry. I'm in my own butt. April 30th, 1998. So that's going to get its 20th year.
Gran Turismo.
May 12th, 98 is Gran Turismo. Gran Turismo is the racing game. It's up there. Forza's competing with it, and Forza's good. Don't get me wrong. But Gran Turismo is the game that for years people were like, the PS2 looks this good. And you're like, it's a PlayStation 2 game. And then you look at it and you're like, well, this rivals some later gen PlayStation 3 games.
Gran Turismo, my dad played the heck out of it. But it got to a point where it's like, where they add Gran Turismo features, like, would you like to do the paperwork for your car?
And
it's like, well, I'll do it anyway.
No.
Now, speaking of the opposite of that, a game that's only fun.
Banjo-Kazooie,
baby.
I actually recently played Rare Replay. It's effectively, it's an Xbox One version of all of these Rare games that was released. Banjo-Kazooie, of course, being a very popular Rare game, along with like Killer Instinct and Perfect Dark and a few other ones. Banjo-Kazooie came out June 29th, 1998, coming up on its 20th year anniversary in a month or two. This is for people that didn't, or even that did like Super Mario 64. If you then played Banjo-Kazooie, you're like, well, this is better. And if you never got into Mario 64 or Donkey Kong 64 and you played Banjo-Kazooie, you're like, well, I don't know that it's better than those games I didn't play, but it probably is.
Yep.
You play as either Banjo or Kazooie.
Oh, no, you play as Banjo, and Kazooie is sort of living in his backpack.
Yeah, Kazooie came out a little bit. He was such a jerk. Who was the turtle? Like Specs or Freckles or?
No. He wasn't a turtle. He was a mole rat.
He was a mole rat. He was blind.
And I think his name was like Specs or something like that.
Yeah.
And he'd be very condescending, give you instructions. I'm like, I just started the game, you little jerk.
Right. He was like, follow me, and I'll show you how to do stuff. And then Kazooie was always a jerk to him, so they always fought. And then Banjo was like, I just want to find my sister. In August 21st of 1998, we got one of the first big, giant, awesome action games, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six.
Now, I'm going to half correct you, half say you're right. It is action, but it was back then. I played this on my dad's computer. Mm-hmm. This was a strategy game through and through.
Yeah,
fair
point.
This was a if you
it
go
wasn't
in there,
fear.
If you go in there playing this thing like Siege, you're gonna die.
That's okay. Fair point.
Because you had to like literally. My dad was the deputy SWAT commander for St. Tammany Parish for the longest time, and the only bomb squad technician they had for ages too. And he was like teaching me like, all right, now
he was the bomb.
He was the
he was literally.
He had one. A quick story. He had one time there was a grenade in a briefcase outside of a bank, but they pulled the pin out right. Mm-hmm. The latch is still there, and it's not moving, and the pin's gone, but the little thing that keeps the latch is still there. And
so he's holding it?
So he just goes up, and he grabs it. He's like, it's fine, and he just unscrews the
That's not and he throws it in the igniter, goes pop.
and everyone's like, what are you doing? He's like, it's harmless. If you just take this out, and you guys call me, went home early. But Rainbow Six
Why
Siege,
waste my time?
But cut to me, I was, I think, 9 or 10 when I was playing this on his computer.
Right.
Amongst another game was Shogun Total War, the first one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And this one was, I wasn't frustrated like Shogun frustrated me. I was frustrated at this one because, not frustrated, but I was like, Dad, what am I doing wrong? From corner to corner when you're entering a room.
That's
first,
clear the room. Clear the room.
Like, and he's teaching me how to clear rooms with the room clearing tactics.
You're getting a militarized.
What is breaching me?
Right? Dad, be on my shoulder. Help me, please. Hey, be my Jiminy Cricket.
literally, he helped me with that game.
Man.
And it was, we had a lot of fun with that.
So August 31st. In fact, I think those were in the same days. No, they're 10 days apart.
Okay.
August 31st, 1980. This is one of my favorite games in existence right now.
This is N64, right?
This was originally PS1, but then they did make Mega Man 64. This is Mega Man Legends.
Yeah, no emulator works for this.
Oh,
cannot
man.
Cannot find that works.
No, I still own this and the sequel. I don't have the Misadventures of Tron Bond. My brother and I played the hell out of this game. Mm-hmm. So you play Mega Man Volnut or Rockman Volnut. And this is sort of a departure from the side-scroller platformer, shooty-shooty of Mega Man X of the Super Nintendo era.
This had a very Ocarina of Time lock-on system, if I remember correctly.
Yes, yes. This had Ocarina lock-on, but it was pre-Ocarina of Time. You'll find that out later. But, you know, I played this game so much. I love this game. I still have PS1. I actually bought, like, decorative cases for this game. Like, full-blown decorative cases for it.
Sweet.
I bought, the PS1 Classics version of this so I could play it on my PS Vita and my PSP.
Oh, goodness.
I love this game so much because it's a full-blown 3D world. Everything is voice acted. Like, all the main cutscenes are voice acted.
And that's a big deal for 98.
Right. This was... And we see a couple other things were totally voice acted in 1998. Mega Man Legends is the first one on this list, but mm-hmm. there are a few more. Parasite Eve came out on September 9th.
Whoa, what the heck is this?
And you've never seen Parasite Eve?
I've never seen Parasite
Dude,
Eve.
Dude, Parasite Eve was like...
it's like Bible stories all over.
Superbook?
Superbook.
Super Bible
I'm
stories.
Sorry.
Oh, man. No, Parasite Eve came out. You played Aya Bray, who is like a SWAT agent or an FBI agent or something in New York. Maybe she's NYPD.
Not from shooting from the hip like that.
And, yeah.
Come
and,
on.
And there's all of a sudden these like mitochondria start evolving. It's not the best story.
Whoa, those are the powerhouses of the cell, man. She's powerless. What is she going to do? Spyro!
Spyro came out the same day and sort of overshadowed it. So
I played the heck out of that. I had the PS2,
yeah.
And I was looking at that, and it was for PS1. I was like, man, this still looks
They're
like
remaking
fun.
The trilogy for Spyro. I think they've maybe already remade it, so that's going to be great. Moving on.
Lord.
September 28th in 1998 was the 20th year anniversary, or the 20th in 98 was the actual release in North America and Australia of Pokemon Red and Blue.
Okay, well, I remember exactly how I got this game. I asked for my grandparents for a Game Boy, and a Game mm-hmm. Boy was expensive, and
right.
my parents are like, you probably asked for something a little cheaper. And I was like, they asked me what I wanted, so I wanted a Game Boy. And Pokemon was coming out 13 days after my birthday.
Really?
So I was like, I'd like a Game Boy for...
Happy birthday,
and they combined me and my sister's birthdays kind of at the same time.
Nice.
And Pokemon Red, Pokemon Blue for each of us.
Oh, that's
each
good. So you can trade
separate
back
Game
and
Boy.
Forth?
Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
It was.
We're
no Link Cable.
Oh, gosh. We're going to skip around a little bit because we are dodging on time at this point. October 21st, 1998, one of my favorite games, favorite like adult games, because I think Mega Man Legends is not really an adult game. Like,
it's
I'm sure there's some fan fiction. But not really an adult game. Metal Gear Solid.
There's some Rule 34 for Mega
That's
Man,
it.
I'm sure.
Metal Gear Solid in 1998, October 21st.
God, what a good year for
it
PlayStation.
Is, right. PlayStation was just killing it this year with games like Mega Man Legends, Parasite Eve, Spyro, mm-hmm. Xenogears, Resident Evil 2, and Gran Turismo. Wow, this is really PS heavy.
Yeah.
And then Metal Gear Solid, Solid Snake doing what he does best. We had Grim Fandango come out October mm-hmm. 30th. Crash Bandicoot Warped, which is I think the third one.
I think so.
And November 4th, we had Half-Life.
Oh!
Bam, right? That was what I wanted to get to. This one, another one. Half-Life, if you don't know it, we did a Half-Life show. Bear and I did a Half-Life show a while back. We might do another one really, really soon.
Again.
That's November 19th. And then, this is how you knew it, The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time came out November 23rd on N64. It is really, really, really awesome game.
That we don't need to go into how.
No. Thief, The Dark Project, Star Wars Rogue Squadron.
You can play as my boy Wedge through most of the
That's
game.
That's it.
Wedge Antilles, killing it.
December 3rd, 1998. And then to end out this list, not a minute too soon, Baldur's Gate.
In
December 21st, 1998, which is a really awesome isometric sort of strategy.
That was a heck of a.
We skipped Fallout 2. We skipped Grim Fandango.
Thief.
We didn't talk about Thief. We could do an entire aside on some of the high points of these games because, like, you know, I didn't play a ton of Xenogears of Final Fantasy Tactics or 1080 Snowboarding,
mm-hmm.
but I mean. I played the crap out of most of these other games.
I watched my dad play through the entirety of Half-Life.
Dude, Half-Life.
You wouldn't
is
let
so
me play
good.
That one.
I'm actually. I think that's the only drinking game that I've done for the show on our YouTube. That
what was the drinking game?
Oh, the drinking game was I drink and I play this game. It's really just drink in game, like drink in game.
Oh, that's a nice play
on
words.
Yeah, it's really good. And there's a graphic that goes along with it. You should check out the thing. But anyway, I played Black Mesa. And I played up to the very part where it's like, all right, well, now I'm waiting for them to finish the part of the game to get to Zen. But like,
it's finished now. So.
Is it?
Oh, Black Mesa?
Yeah.
Oh, it's done.
Are you sure?
I believe so.
Okay,
because
they were waiting on Zen for like a while.
I believe it's out of...
Don't toy with my heart, Dustin.
I believe it's completely... I re-downloaded it to play it again. Dude, we want to go through this together?
We have to wrap it up because we are out of time. But thanks for hanging out with us. We have a website, exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P. We have news reviews. We're incredibly backlogged. We need an intern. Someone please save us. But we've got all this other stuff going on. We are... my name is MG.
I'm Dustin.
And we are here every Wednesday from 9 to 10 if we can help it. If we can't, then we'll just play another show again. But that's we're going to leave you with two songs. This is going to be Tutorial Lab Remix by George and Jonathan and Airbrushed by Anna Monoguchi. Check us out next week when we'll be back. We'll be spewing all this nerd-tastic stuff. Are you looking up Black Mesa right now?
Yeah, I'm seeing if it's finished.
Oh, okay. I don't think it is, but I hope it is. Just watch our Facebook, like and subscribe, and you will see what we are doing. Thank you again for listening to it. We're going to leave you with those songs, and have a good night. This is the Experience Points Radio Show, exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.